Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hey everybody, welcome back once again to another fabulous episode of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. We are on episode 44, and today is Sunday, August 21st, 2016. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me as co-host is...
Good old Joe.
Welcome back, Joe. It is good to hear your voice again. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Still kind of got a little stuffy nose, but, you know, feeling much better. Feel like I got out of bed this week a little more than last Sunday, so...
Oh, that's a good thing, for sure. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, but I hope you're feeling 100% real soon. So, Joe, this is episode number 44, and if we look back in Tigers history at this number, there's really one name that definitely comes to everybody's mind, and it's not Ryutaro Umeno.
Randy Bass.
Good old Randy Bass. Kami-sama, Hotoke-sama, Bass-sama. That's right. The MVP of the 1985 season of the 1985 Nippon Series, the Triple Crown winner in 1985 and 1986. We have never had a hitter on our team, and that would be Japanese or foreign, as prolific, as famous, as loved as Randy Bass. Do you know anything particular about the man, or any memories of anything that you might have heard or seen in highlights?
The three golden arches or something like that?
Yeah, the back screen three or whatever, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. And the three home runs in the, was that the Nippon Series?
No, that was...
when the game was.
That was early in the season. It was against the Giants, though, and that was the big thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it was Bass that hit a three-run go-ahead home run, and then Kakefu hit one right after him, and then Okada hit one right after him, and they were all right down, you know, center field, and Koshien was just, you know... It was, they said, like, omatsuri desu, omatsuri desu. So it was like a festival. I mean, people were just going absolutely nuts. And a lot of times people attribute that three home runs to, that was what got them the momentum to win them the pennant and then win them the Nippon Series. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, the other thing is the KFC statue, the curse, right?
Yep.
Thrown into the Dontonbori. So,
Bass has got a lot of stuff attached to him. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, one other thing I thought that is kind of interesting. He's a U.S. senator.
Yeah, that's right.
A state senator in Kansas, I believe, today.
Oklahoma,
that's right. Yep. Somewhere out there.
Somewhere in the middle where it's dry. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and actually he comes to Japan still quite regularly, probably at least twice a year, or maybe three or four. He was just here recently at a Legends game. And then he also comes to be Santa Claus at the Hanshin department store every December. So I got to meet him last December, so that was fun. And then also he comes and promotes his beef jerky, his brand of beef jerky at the Costco's here in Japan. So that's pretty cool. And I've been meaning to get out to one of those. So hopefully this year, Mr. Bass, I really hope to see you. Also, my son, because of all the magazines and stuff that I always have sitting around, he knows, and he also met Randy Bass as well, but every time he sees the magazine with Randy on the cover, he always says, Mr. Bass, Mr. Bass. So he's famous in our household as well. So we love Randy Bass, and number 44 will always be his, although an honorable mention in a way goes to Cecil Fielder, who also wore it for a year, and... he, as you know, is the father of Prince Fielder, who was recently retired from MLB because of big neck injury. So, anyways, shall we go on with the show, Joe?
Let's roll.
Okay, before we actually jump into the recap, we definitely want to address, although we are a Hanshin Tigers show, you know, there are other things going on in the world, believe it or not, such as, what, the Olympics? did you catch a lot of Olympic action, Joe?
The first week I caught a little more than the last week, but, you know, a lot of swimming, a little bit of track and field. I like the kind of like the shot put, javelin, that kind of stuff. So it's been fun.
Okay, cool. But, obviously your country, you know, kicked a whole lot of butt in a whole lot of, contests and events and all that kind of stuff. Any of the golds or any of the medals really leave an impression on you?
Well, I think, you know, the more recent stuff, a lot of long, middle and long distance running for the U.S. Mm-hmm. We've won a lot of medals that we haven't won in like 100 years or so.
Wow.
And like the five kilometer, 10 kilometer runs, and then a woman just won the triathlon, women's triathlon yesterday. First time we won a medal there. So, you know, just a lot of new medals for the U.S., you know, in sports that we really haven't done that well in. So it's good to see that.
That's really cool. And I don't know what the final medal count is, but obviously the U.S. is sitting on top as always. But Japan has really done well this year, and I don't know how much of that gets any attention on U.S. TV. Probably very little, but that's all I get to see here.
The judo wrestler that picked up her coach. That was pretty heavily played over here.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, to be honest with you, I haven't watched a ton of Olympic action. Part of it is the time zone difference, and part of it is, as you know, I'm not Japanese. And as you can guess, everything that we see on TV here is the Japanese athletes being covered. And, you know, as much as I like for them to succeed, I just don't have that special, you know, fondness, or I don't root for them the same way as I root for my fellow Canadians. So that makes it a bit tough. But one of the wrestlers, her name escapes me right now, but anyways, it turns out she is a Hanshin Tigers fan, and she likes Hojo, and so that was kind of cool. That made the news both in Olympics and in, you know, the Tigers land, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, that's about it for me. I mean, I don't really want to talk a ton about the Canadian team and all that kind of stuff. One of the neat things, though, is that our women beat Brazil for the bronze in soccer. And so I can imagine if the same had happened on the men's side, there would have been sorts of riots and murders and all sorts of crazy stuff.
If they lost to Germany last night in the penalty kicks, there would have been hell to pay.
Yeah,
it looked like quite a party there when they won. So
yeah, I mean,
they could care less about the entire rest of the Olympics as long as they won soccer. It didn't matter.
Exactly. I mean, that was really the purpose of them having the Olympics in a sense, and in a way, it was good redemption for them after what they did in the World Cup 2 years ago. So yeah, congratulations to Brazil on that for sure. A couple other things in the sporting world. The high school tournament at Koshien Stadium finished up actually today. So obviously, as we talk about the Tigers, we'll talk about their road trip coming to an end real soon. But the tournament was won by a team, I believe, out of Tochigi Prefecture called Sakushin something or other High School. And they beat a team out of Hokkaido. So I didn't catch a lot of that tournament either. You know, life is just kind of busy at times, but it's always exciting and fun to watch high school baseball. And you know, there's always a lot of drama. There's always these crazy endings. Like I think one team scored 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth to win their game, all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I try to keep my eyes on the name of the teams. If my the team from Tenri, where I stayed in Japan, is in, I'll try to keep tabs on it. But they didn't make it this year. They usually have been in it, you know, a couple times. So. Recently, so
yeah, Tenry's a pretty strong team for sure. They always seem to be in there too. But yeah, it was interesting. The final four this year actually came from each of the four big islands in Japan. So there was one from Hokkaido, one from Honshu, one from Shikoku, and one from Kyushu. And I think that was the first time in the tournament's history that the final four was like that. So that was kind of neat. I mean, just that every region was represented, and I think that, you know, people from across all of Japan, you know, had an interest in the tournament all the way through, so that was kind of cool. Speaking of baseball, Joe, I heard you were saying something about Little League baseball.
Little League World Series is about an hour from where I live in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I always keep tabs on it every year, and it's actually broadcast nationally on ESPN.
Nice.
Every single game of the tournament, so it's pretty big over here. Maybe not as big as the Koshien tournament is over there, but it's pretty big over here. Japan actually. The tournament started on Thursday, and Japan actually lost their first two games and is out of the tournament. And that's pretty astounding, because the Japanese team has won, I think, 3 out of the last 5 tournaments overall out of the 16 teams. And it's the first time since 1954 and second time ever that they've ever been eliminated after the first two games. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
It's an impressive streak, obviously, you know, to have made it that far for that many years in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty dominant. There's a couple of little leagues out of Tokyo that usually are the representative teams. I'm not sure who they were this year, but yeah, I mean, they're all districted out, and, you know, they have a limited number of kids that they can pull from. So there's some pretty dominant baseball coming out of Tokyo, let's say that.
I wonder if they'll be able to get home safely, or if they're going to be too ashamed to face their...
Yeah, they looked pretty upset. They were crying and stuff on the field once they lost, but...
Just for the
they
record,
get to play a couple more games after the fact, but they're not, you know, for the
not
tournament,
meaningful.
But they get to play. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Just for the record, pardon my ignorance, but what age are these kids that play in the Little League?
I want to say they're 11 to 13.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's it's cool. Definitely, you know, lots of errors, and when somebody's on first, it's pretty easy to get them over to second base. Lots of pass balls, but, you know, it adds something to the game that, you know, is still exciting. You never know what could happen.
Right. So. Nice. Very cool. So it's a busy world of sports, and, you know, I've kind of noticed a real waning in the interest of the Hanshin Tigers, and it may just be a coincidence, or it may be because they just really sucked this week. But
yeah, I don't know. But I think I may fall on that bandwagon. It's been rough to follow them last week. Oh, man.
Absolutely. Well, without further ado, let us get into the action. We played two games against the Hiroshima Carp at Kyocera Dome to finish off our kind of middle of the road trip homestand, so to speak. And going into this one, I think we were 6-15 against the Carp on the season, which is absolutely atrocious. I don't think I've ever seen a team dominate us this badly. So Tuesday, we bring Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and they bring Chris Johnson to the mound. And the last time that we faced Chris Johnson, we actually got a few runs off of him. We actually seem to have figured him out at least a little bit. And then Tuesday happened. So let's go over the scoring, Joe, and you can just keep your mouth shut while I go through all of the Hiroshima scoring, because there wasn't any. Nothing for you to report, unfortunately. In the top of the second, our enemy, nemesis, former Tiger, and now Tiger smasher, Takahiro Arai, hit a home run to right center. It was a solo shot, 1-0. The very next inning, he comes in and hits a sacrifice fly to right field, so 2-0. And then two innings later, guess who? Takahiro Arai, two outs, runner on second, and he hits one through the infield into left field, and another run scores, 3-0. Takahiro Arai 3, Hanshin 0. And the next inning, they added a little bit more damage, and that was after Nomi's day ended, after five innings. And I believe it was Satterwhite that was in for this.
Correct.
And he allowed an RBI single to Ishihara with runners on, with a runner on third. And then he was on second, I believe, for Kosuke Tanaka to knock in for a fifth run. So 5-0, Hanshin Tigers with how many hits, Joe?
Four.
Oh, so fewer hits than they had runs. Way to go, guys. I think we got three hits off of Chris Johnson, and then one off of one of the relievers, something like that. But very little
talk
about
two off the relievers.
Two off the relievers. Okay, and two off of Johnson?
Two in the fifth and two in the eighth.
Okay. Wow. Crazy. So Johnson with his 12th win on the year, and Nomi with his 10th loss on the year.
Yeah. Just couldn't get the bats around today.
No, not
at all. Couldn't see it.
And there weren't any walks either, I don't think, eh? Or maybe like one or two or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. There was another game this week where I know we didn't have any walks, but
yeah,
kind of gross that we didn't really get anywhere. Yeah, they had one walk. Johnson gave up one walk. So.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and we struck out 11 times in total, so that's very unimpressive. The only player of ours... nobody really had an outside.
Hojo had a double in the eighth.
Hojo had a double. Yeah, that's it. That was our only
after the runner on first. So, I mean, there was chance, but
yeah,
one run isn't going to save us in the eighth.
No, and Hayata Ito came up and struck out to end the threat there. So, and that eventually earned him a demotion. That happened, I think it was Sunday morning or Saturday night. So, anyways, yeah, nothing to talk about here. Let's move on type of thing. So let's go into Wednesday's action then. And we bring Prince Shintaro Fujinami. Oh, man. Against Fukui. Yuya Fukui, maybe? Something Fukui. So here we go. I'll let you start with the scoring, Joe.
All right. Well, first inning scoring by the Tigers here.
Yes.
Nakatani comes up with a two out after a double play. And actually, bases loaded, and gets a hit to left field to score two runs. So there was a throw to home plate that was, I think, a little late or a little off, and caused that second run to get in. But
that's right.
So we got two runs on the first, and that was it.
Yes, that was it. And I wish I could say that was the end of the scoring for the day. But, you know, we've got Fujinami on the mound, and he struggled. Again, Matsuyama is just a killer against Fujinami. And in the top of the third, he, with a runner on third, he hit one to center for a run. And then in the top of the fourth, Fujinami got into more trouble. This time, Abe, with no outs and a runner on second, tied the score with a double. And then Abe actually it wasn't a double. It was a single, and he advanced to second base on the throw. Anyhow, it's 2-2, and then in the top of the fifth, Fujinami continues to flirt with danger, continues to mess around, and Maru knocks somebody in with a double, and then Suzuki knocks somebody in with a single, and it's 4-2, and I think Fujinami's night ended after six innings?
Correct.
Six innings, and then in the seventh inning, our reliever said, "Oh, I'm facing Takahiro Arai? Home run, home run." Yeah, so it was a shot to left, and so now it is 5-2, and the damage actually continues. By the way, this was Shimamoto that was facing him, and what I heard was that actually Arai, all of his home runs against us have come against left-handed pitchers, so I don't know why we chose that reliever to come in at that time, or why we said, yeah, go ahead, throw inside where Arai loves to hit the ball. But, you know, the ball was definitely, you know, an inside pitch, and he turned on it. Anyways, the damage continued, and they got a couple more runs on another Abe hit. So 7-2, and that, folks, is a bludgeoning. And that's the end of the two-game series. We lost both of them by a total of 12-2. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Fujinami gave up 8 hits, and he got 8 strikeouts, but in 3 walks. But 8 hits in 6 innings is a little much. He seems to go for those strikeouts and gives him maybe a little bit more of a sweeter pitch than he should.
Yeah.
So they kind of, it seems like he's always just been one to go for the strikeout count. So maybe, you know, on a 1-2 count, he's putting it in there instead of, you know, giving it a little outside and seeing if they swing, you know.
But yeah. You know, some of their hits were actually on not great pitches, i.e. they weren't like fat pitches. You know, they were balls that they just happened to get their bat on. But others, I mean, it just seems like they're able to tell what he's going to throw or whatever. And man, this Matsuyama guy just has a number. He actually got hits both of his times up against, or 2 out of 3 against Fujinami. And one of them was on the first pitch. I think he knew what Fujinami was going to throw. I think he's on to him. And I don't know why he doesn't tell the rest of the team. Or maybe he does. I mean, based on how they did in this game. But I think Fujinami, I can't figure it out, man. Is it injury? Is it that he's kind of sloppy? Is he not focused? You know, what is it? I don't know. But he's not the same pitcher he was last year or the year before by any means.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know if the other teams have figured him out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is it the punishment that Kanemoto is giving him?
I really don't know, man. It's just tough to explain. One thing I wanted to note about this one, Joe, I really felt like we kind of tanked in the first two innings, especially, particularly the first inning, when we got the two runs, but we had the bases loaded with one out, and
right. He
had walked two guys there. His control was off. And we got the two runs on the Nakatani hit, but then we still had a decent chance after that to get another run. I mean, we still had a guy in scoring position. And Imanari, man, I love the guy in the field, but he has just been awful with the bat this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he can never hit when it matters. And, you know, he came up and popped up to third base. And then in the second inning, it was two outs, granted, but we had runners on second and third. And Takayama struck out. So we just look really bad in those situations. And, you know, through two innings, I think Fukui had thrown something near 60 pitches.
Yeah, three walks.
Three walks. And it looked like we had him reeling. It looked like we could have really knocked him out real early. But we weren't able to do it. And right from there, I mean, that really was the momentum changer, because it wasn't long before they pounced on us and they did it big time. I mean, they scored in the third, fourth, fifth, and seventh innings. You know, that's pretty, right. You know, pretty strong attack right there. So I think it was a combination of Fujinami's poor pitching and our inability to capitalize on some poor pitching early on from Fukui. I mean, we should have gotten more than two runs there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled him after five innings with 111 pitches. So
yeah,
but he had five innings and nine strikeouts.
Yep. So. Yeah, including three in the second inning. So yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think three in his fifth inning as well. So. Yeah, he had a dynamite outing, and that actually dropped his ERA to 4.59, which shows that he really isn't a great pitcher, and we really, really should have done more. So I'm kind of surprised they kept Shimamoto up after that disaster of an inning he had, but also it was cool to see Akiyama, who's always shown a lot of promise and never seems to live up to it. And actually, he came into this game with a 10.8 ERA, and he dropped it to 6.75. So, I mean, it's still obviously not very respectable, but it's a whole lot better than it was. And he actually showed a decent performance at the end there with two shutout innings. So that's about it. I don't want to talk much more about the Carp series. We are now 6-17 against them.
I don't want to play the Carp anymore.
Well, two more, Joe. That's it. One at home and one on the road. But I fully expect we're going to end the year 6-19 against them. I don't imagine us taking either of those from them. So moving along, we go into Tokyo Dome, where actually on the year we were 5-4 heading into this one, and but on the year against the Giants, we were 5-10-1, which is awful.
No wins at home.
That's right. So you know, between the two now, I mean, 6-17 against the Carp and 5-10-1 going into this one against the Giants. You know, we're looking at like 11-27-1, 16 under 500 against these two teams alone. You know, if we could play all our schedule against DeNA, Yakult, and Chunichi, we would win the pennant. But obviously, that would be any team. So,
wouldn't make it far in the Nippon series,
though. No, definitely not. That would be Sweep City for sure. Well, so we brought Messenger to the Mound in the first one. They brought their youngster, Kazuto Taguchi. I think I got his first name right. So, Messenger, of course, you know, he is our 10-win man on the year. He's the only one that's in double digits so far, and he is our ace. And obviously, you know, he always looks to do his best against the Giants. But in the bottom of the first, he got himself into trouble real early. Bases loaded with one out, and he allowed the first run of the game on hit by Murata. And then actually on a grounder by Garrett Jones right after that, a ground out to third, they scored a second run. So 2-0 after one inning. It's looking pretty bad. And then actually, the very next inning, he allowed an RBI double off the right field wall that scored another run. That was from their Sakamoto, so 3-0. And it's looking really bad. It's looking like we're out of this one.
Right. But in the fourth, though, we have a golden opportunity of bases loaded, no outs. So you're hoping at least two, if not three, runs here. Takayama comes up and hits into a double play. So we get two outs and we get a run. So so in the fourth we get that one run. Then it's 3-1. You know, it's kind of, I don't even know if that's a momentum builder getting a run like that.
No.
And that's all you get is a double play and then another a single run when you have bases loaded, no outs.
But, you know, early in the year, we would have gotten the double play where they would have gotten the runner at home first, and so we wouldn't have scored any runs. Because that did happen several times. So,
yeah, it did.
I mean, it's a very, very, very small victory, but we'll take it. I mean, it is a run with bases loaded and no outs. But anyways, yeah.
Then the top of the fifth, Nakatani comes up with a runner on first and one out, and an 0-1 count hits a home run to left to tie it up 3-3. So, this is looking like we might have a little bit of a rally here after their pitcher seems to start to struggle a little bit in the fifth. So,
yeah,
looking good in the top of the fifth.
Absolutely. And you know, the good thing is Taguchi actually went the distance against us early in the year, and he has been pretty good against us. So it's good to get those three runs off of him early. And he actually, that was the end of his day after five innings. But in the bottom of the fifth inning, they also, with one out and a runner on first, got a two-run home run. This was from Shinosuke Abe. And seriously, the way he hit that one, he was waiting on a particular pitch in a particular zone, and he got all of it. He crushed it. So 5-3, and that's a momentum crusher because we crawled back into a tie with them. I went right back to lead, and then in the bottom of the sixth, they, with runners on, I believe, first and second, they got another RBI single to right field. This one was not off of Randy. This was off of Ando because Randy's outing also ended after five innings. So it's 6-3, and that is how this one ended.
Yeah, we had one hit in the sixth and then nothing after that. Couple walks that we got, but that was it.
Yep.
Bats kind of fell off, and their relief held it together.
They've got pretty good relief. I mean, particularly, I think Scott Matheson has got our number this year big time. We can't hit his 98-mile-an-hour fastball to save our lives. Particularly, yeah. I don't think... Was it this game, or was it the next game, or today's game? I think it was this game where Egoshi faced him. And Egoshi, yeah, is particularly bad at hitting fastballs, and it showed. He struck out swinging. So, yeah. Anyways, Randy took the loss. Five innings pitched, five earned runs, eight hits, two walks, and struck out just four. That gave him the league lead in strikeouts, which is kind of cool. But that's the only kind of cool thing about his outing.
Yeah.
So.
Not yeah. his best, and then Shimamoto had another tough inning there. Pulled him after a third of an inning.
Yeah, yeah. So he faced three guys and got one out, allowed a hit, and walked another guy. So, yeah, pretty bad. And Akiyama actually lowered his ERA again down to 5.68. So, player of the week, anyone? Maybe not. But, okay, so game one we dropped pretty bad. The next day we come in, this is a Saturday, and we are... This is Saturday afternoon, actually. And we are facing Kan Otake, a big beefy fellow, who is... he's not a great pitcher, I don't think. And we brought rookie Koyo Aoyagi to the mound.
He's had a good year, though. I looked him up after
is that Otake?
This game. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll buy that. I actually haven't looked into his stats a whole lot, but...
ERA is 2.74, and he's 5-2 this year on 11 starts. So,
okay.
Actually, pretty solid year. His prior years don't look as good,
right?
But he's definitely had a definitely solid year this year.
And I could be wrong, but I think we've got a decent history against him. I do believe we faced him in the Climax series a couple of years back, and we really did some damage on him, but it didn't show in this one. So, shall I start?
Yeah, this was our first time facing him this year, by the way.
Okay. That makes sense. So Aoyagi started this one with just one walk in the first inning, which is good for him. Unfortunately, it did lead to a couple of runs scoring. So with one out and a runner, one out and runners on first and second, who else but Abe? It's Arai with Hiroshima and Abe with the Giants that just kill us. So Abe hits one to center field and scores one run, and then a second run scores on, was it Nakatani or Egoshi? It was Nakatani, wasn't it? Nakatani threw one from center field to third base, and Yokawa couldn't scoop it up. So the ball got past him, a second run scored. So 2-0 after one inning. And the score remained that way until the bottom of the eighth, when Kyuji Fujikawa allowed a solo home run to Garrett Jones. And it was a big shot right to the depths of center field. I think it was the second pitch that Kyuji threw. And that's it, 3-0 final score. So,
yeah. Interesting thing here is we had a leadoff double to start the game.
Yep.
A leadoff hit in the second and a leadoff hit in the fourth.
Yep.
And that was the entire hitting for the entire day for the Tigers.
Yes.
Three leadoff hits and nothing to show for it.
And the worst part of that, in a sense, is the leadoff double, we advanced the runner to the third with a Yamato grounder. But the other two guys did not get past first base.
Right. This game was no walks. There was literally 30 at-bats for our team. They were three hits away from a perfect game.
Crazy.
So, you know, Otake, he went 8 innings, 122 pitches, gave up those 3 hits, 10 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah.
And no runs. So it was definitely a dominant outing by Otake.
Yeah. He was fine in the corners when he needed to. I think I looked back and he got 5 of his strikeouts with us looking and 5 of them with us swinging. So, you know, when he needed to find those corners, he did. And when he needed us to swing it at, you know, his junk, we did. So he just had us figured out completely. On the other hand, you know, we talk about no walks from them. How did our boy Aoyagi do? I said it was pretty good that he only gave up 1 walk in the first, because he gave up 1 in the second, 1 in the third, none in the fourth, but then 3 in the fifth, and then 1 plus a hit batsman in the sixth before his game ended partway through the sixth. So he had 7 walks and 1 hit batsman. And he only allowed 3 hits as well, and he struck out 7 in 5 2/3. So actually, those numbers of his are almost as impressive as Otake is, but... you know, those 8 walks or those 8 free passes
versus ouch. 0.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a ton of guys on base, you know, so just playing with fire the whole game. And, you know, somehow, despite that, the only walk that ended up biting him in the butt was that first one. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not much else to say about this one. I think on my Facebook page, I gave Satterwhite the player of the game because, you know, who are you going to give it to? We got 3 hits. One of them was a double by Hojo. None of our other pitchers did well except for Takahashi, who allowed no runs in a third of an inning. He faced one guy. So, yeah, Satterwhite was the only guy that you could say did well. And he actually shut down their number 3, 4, 5 hitters quite cleanly. So that's it.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of playing time recently.
He has.
Most of these games.
I think today he played in his 10th game, and he's only been up with the team for under a month for sure. I think it's actually been three whole weeks, I think. So 10 games out of 17, I think he's been in. So pretty crazy. But all right. So we are on.
Let's forget this one.
Yeah, let's forget it. Let's move on to the
and
last.
Please don't let us get a week without scoring. Get at least 1 win.
No,
that's why I went
joke.
To bed last night. I was like, please just give us 1 win this week.
I thought we were in danger of it. You know, we're 0-4 on the week, and we're heading into, you know, the last game. No momentum on our side. We've had 2 shutouts against this week. It's looking like we don't know how to score runs anymore. But we bring Yuta Iwasada back from a time of rest, so he plays. Yokawa got sent down to the farm, and so did Hayata Ito, and Uemoto came up to the big team to compensate for them. And most people say, what? He was batting 100 heading into this game, or 103 or something crazy like that. And he started at second base, and he batted leadoff. And a lot of people think that's absolutely nuts. But you got to remember, this is a guy that does have a decent history, at least 2014 and part of 2015 that he played regularly. He's solid. I mean, he's just having a rough patch, and he's doing really well on the farm. So they called him up, and it kind of paid off. So yeah. the scoring, Joe, there's not a lot to talk about because Iwasada was on. It was the good Iwasada.
Yeah, first 6 innings were clean. He gave up a number of walks in there, but definitely, especially in the 6th inning, got himself into a little bit of trouble with 2 walks. But so all clean through the first 6 on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we couldn't really get anything going either. I think we had more hits than they did up until that point.
Absolutely.
But, it was the bottom of the 7th that the scoring started, and this is actually with 2 outs, and their catcher... what's his name? Seiya Kobayashi? Something like that. Anyways, he came up with 2 outs. He had two career home runs. Or not 2 career, pardon me. 2 home runs on the year. And he hit one into the left field stands. So, 1-0. And please, Tigers, please score us a run, is all I can say.
Right. So, top of the 8th, we start off with a strikeout and a fly to left. From the bottom of our lineup, and then Uemoto comes up, he's 1-for-2 today, got a hit in the 3rd inning, but you're thinking, okay, he's batting, what, 120 at this point?
Yeah.
130 maybe after his hit. But he comes up with the the swing of his lifetime. That is like 15 rows up to left field, and it was way up there and ties this game 1-1 in the top of the eighth. And then Hojo grounds out to end the eighth, but definitely a huge momentum comeback, especially from a player you're not expecting it from.
Right.
So
he's got decent pop though, which is kind of surprising for a guy of his size. I mean, I think he had 7 home runs in 2014. I could be wrong, I think he weighs 64 kilograms, and that might be dripping wet, fully clothed with football equipment on or something like that.
Right.
Just crazy. And he's just a tiny guy, but I don't know if it's his bat speed. I don't know if it's his swing, but he actually does generate a decent amount of pop. So that was nice to see. 1-1, and in the bottom of the ninth, sorry, this is not a scoring play, but it has to be mentioned before we get to the extra innings. Ryoma Matsuda comes in relief, and I think it was the first guy that he... No, it was a one out, and he's facing... it wasn't a pinch hitter. It was their second baseman, Nakai. And he hit a ball deep, deep, going back, hit the top of the fence, probably half a foot, if that, away from being a home run. But he gets a double out of it. And Matsuda actually stranded him at third, I believe it was. I think he advanced on the next hitter. But got out of the inning alive, so we go into extra innings. That was so close to being a sayonara home run, though. I couldn't believe it.
So, the top of the 10th, the Tigers really haven't had a lot of extra inning steam this year. They've done it recently. The last time they went in extra innings, I think we won. So Hojo comes up with two outs, runners on first and second, and gets a double to center to score two runs. And again, I think this throw was kind of off from the catcher. The relay throw missed him a little bit, so the second run came in safe. And then Toditani comes up with the runner on third after that errant throw. And on a 1-2 count, hits a double to left to bring in the next insurance run. So it's 4-1. Tigers after the top of the 10th.
Let's qualify that, though. Actually, I mean, it was a double, so to speak, but actually it was a grounder that got through the third baseman. I mean, it kind of scampered under his glove, and they credited a hit, but it could have been called an error, and I don't think anyone would have said anything about it. So, you know, good old the
so Toritani it's a Toritani bonus. Double then, right?
Yeah, a Toritani double.
Asterisk.
And actually, so he got the double, and then Fukudome followed it up with a single, but it wasn't a run-scoring single. But anyways, we do end up with a 4-1 final score in this one. We got our win, Joe. We got our one win. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Yeah, something to celebrate. So last week, you mailed in your predictions, I actually just spoke mine. But what was it? You had said 1-1 against the Carp.
And then 2-1 against the Giants.
And you said 2-1 against the Giants. I said 1-2 against the Giants. So, we were both wrong on the Carp, and I was right on the Giants. But I was hoping to be wrong about the Giants. I was hoping you'd be right. But there you go. That is the predictions there, and the week that was.
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the Player of the Week.
Let's talk about the Outstanding Player of the Week, Joe. Is there an outstanding player? We were shut out twice out of 5 games.
Well, I don't know if there was a lot of batting going on this week, as you can tell.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a whole lot of hits, not a lot of runs coming across the plate. I do have an honorable mention to give out there, and it was to Uemoto. He went 500. He played in one game and went 2-for-4 and one home run. So I'm going to give him a honorable mention for that, because it's definitely the critical hit of the game to keep us in that one and actually get us the win. So he gets an honorable mention, but my player of the week actually goes to Iwasada for his great time against the Giants today. So 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, gave up 1 home run, but had 7 strikeouts and 3 walks, and only gave up that 1 run. So definitely a very solid, remembering the first half of the year, kind of Iwasada, the first 2 months of the year at least.
You know, let's just leave him in the Tokyo area and have him play all his games at Tokyo Dome and Yokohama, because he kills it in both of those places. Yeah, I'll give it to Iwasada as well. like you said, good, great performance. The other interesting thing is the only guy that really beat him was, yeah, you guessed it, Shinnosuke Abe, with two singles and a walk. So out of the three hits and three walks he gave up, half of it was to Abe.
Wow.
Which actually isn't a bad thing, because that means you're letting one guy out of nine on base, and if you're not letting anyone else hit, then he's not getting home. So, and one of those hits was an infield single, which is kind of surprising for a 37-year-old fatty, but he just, Uemoto ended up chasing down the ball at, it was heading up the middle. I just couldn't make the throw to first, and it's understandable. So, yeah, really good job by Iwasada. He definitely knew what he was doing up there. By the way, that walk to Abe was half intentional, because I think he got behind 2-0, and he just said, forget it, the base is open,
yeah,
give it to him. So, yeah, there's nobody else that really is worth it. Maybe, Matsuda came in and did a pretty good job all week when he came in relief, as did Akiyama, as I said. But yeah, we had what is it, two home runs this week? It was the Uemoto one and then the Nakatani one. I think that's it. Right. So, I don't know, man. It seems like other teams' number 25s are just killing it this year. Tsutsugo, Arai Takahiro. Come on, Egoshi. Let's get it together, buddy. Hunting Tigers. Hunting Tigers. All right, well, let's do a little bit of topic talking. And Joe, as I had mentioned to you just in the email that I sent you, we have used a ton of young guys this year. And I just can't help but wonder, as I think about our youth movement, we've used a lot of guys. And, we've used them fairly regularly. So we've got all these guys under the age of 25. But if you think about it, 5 years down the road, they can't all be regular players or can't all get regular playing time. Case in point, we've got Haraguchi, who's 24, and Sakamoto, who's 22. They're both catchers. They can't both play 140 games or 120 games or whatever, right? We've also got Umino, who's 25. So we've got three catchers that can potentially be the main catcher, but they can't all be. Then in infield, we've got Hojo. We've got Yokawa. Those are our two main young guys that we've used a lot. The rest are a little bit older or whatever. And then the outfield, we've just got a whole ton. We've got Takayama. We've got Yokota. We've got Egoshi. We've got Nakatani. We've got Itayama. We've got Ogata. And all of these guys are, I think Ogata's the elder statesman, and he is still a few days shy of his 26th birthday. So, and then Hayata Ito is also 27. So, a ton of guys that are still either just entering their prime or not even entering it. So, they can't all play every day. And then also with the pitchers, there's a fair number of guys as well. So I just wanted to ask you and ask our listeners as well, which of these guys do you anticipate, or who do you anticipate will be the regular starters in a few years' time, and who do you think are going to be role players? So do you want to just kind of look at this? We'll go catcher, we'll go infield, we'll go outfield, and then we'll look at the pitchers too if we have time.
Okay.
So between Sakamoto, Umeno, and Haraguchi, who do you anticipate may be the catcher of the future of this team?
After performance this year, it's pretty obvious that Haraguchi has a chance to really secure that role with his bat.
His bat, yeah.
That's, the big thing. And, with catchers, it's definitely an interesting spot on the team where you have to have a lot of knowledge of the other teams, knowledge of the other, your pitchers and what they like and the situation. It's very much a role that requires a lot of thought and effort from that perspective, not just the, being able to catch the ball,
right.
There's a lot more than that. So you see a lot of catchers that really bloom in their late 20s, early 30s, and survive into their almost late 30s, mm-hmm. So, Haraguchi really has 10 more years of being a catcher, at that age. And, a lot of catchers don't get their starts real young. They kind of, slowly, evolve into that role. So
right.
I think you give Haraguchi 5 years, he could absolutely be that starting catcher. And you have, Sakamoto or Umeno that have a prayer of being a backup catcher that plays maybe one or two games a week.
Right.
You know, if you line them up with a certain pitcher that they like, or, you know, something to that effect, I think, you know, you can really, you can build a solid rotation out of those three guys. But my thoughts are maybe with the catcher position, you bring in an older guy that's, you know, a veteran catcher, and let them, you know, let these younger guys learn from him for a year or two.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've got Tsuruoka who could do that, but he's also turning 40 next year. And then the next guy might be Okazaki, and he might be a better candidate. Although less experienced on the big club, he definitely has the experience as a catcher, and he definitely has, you know, defensive skills that the other guys don't maybe have yet. So that's definitely true. To be honest with you, I look at this and I say if Haraguchi can develop a throwing arm, if he can gun guys down at second, I think that's his big weakness. Right. His effort, you can't question it. This guy works harder than almost anybody else on the team. So he's definitely got, you know, the work ethic, the desire to excel. I think that maybe Umeno is lacking at this point. So I would love to see Haraguchi be the main catcher, especially if he can get his defense and his game calling up. And I'd love for Sakamoto to be the backup, and I think he would definitely be adequate. You know, I see him maybe batting 240, 250, you know, maybe not much higher than that. Maybe not a lot of power, but he definitely does have a good head on his shoulders. So to me, those are the two. And I would actually love to see them trade Umeno this offseason, while he's still got some worth, instead of letting him sit down on the farm for another season next year. Trade him, man. He's still got a decent name amongst other teams, and see if we can get somebody for him. I don't know. It's just a thought.
It's hard to think of us trading somebody that has value. I don't know. We just don't seem to do that. So
yeah, true. But and it doesn't happen that often in NPB either. So
right.
Yeah. All right, let's look at the infield, and just to kind of recap things really quickly, currently we've got Gomez at first base. He is 32 years old this September, and my guess is he's on his way out, but we'll talk about that another episode. We have, right now, we have Yamato at second base playing regularly, although Hojo has played there as well. Nishioka, of course, would be there if he hadn't have gotten hurt with the Achilles injury. He is also 32. And then at shortstop, we had Toritani, who's 35, and that, again, is another topic for another episode, but he recently has given way to Hojo, who just turned 22 last month. And then at third base, we really haven't figured things out. I mean, we had Ryotarai there, who is turning, who just turned 33. We've had Imanari there, who is turning 29 this offseason. And then we also had Haig there. He's disappeared as well. Happy belated birthday yesterday. He is 31. And I think that's it for third base. Oh, and Yokawa, who just turned 25. So those are the four guys we've used there. But as far as youth goes, as I said, we can also add into that. Well, actually, that's it, really. Yokawa and Hojo are our main young guys there. But do you see them being big time players in the future, or do you think they're going to be role players or nothing?
For Hojo, I think he has a good shot at it. He's you know, shown a decent bat this year. You know, he's the one I would pick out of that bunch.
Yeah,
that has a shot at it. You know, Yokawa, he's been up and down. Really hasn't had the bat. He went 0-5 this week, and it just shows you. You know, it just. Not all there. So, you know, they all have time. They all have, you know, it's hard to pick who's going to be that kind of player. You look at a lot of the star players, they all weren't drafted in the first round. They didn't have good first 5 years of their career. So it's so hard to say who's going to be those kind of players. But I think Hojo has a better shot than Yokawa for sure.
Given what we've seen this season, I would say so too. And I was kind of not fully on the Hojo bandwagon for a long time, but what I've seen from him recently, especially in light of the fact that he has covered for Toritani at shortstop, and that's a pretty tough thing to do. I mean, it's kind of like the guy who replaced Kanemoto in left, you know, those first couple of times that Kanemoto was pulled. There's a bit of pressure there, because as soon as you start to, you know, slide a little bit in your performance, people say, bring back the veteran, you know. But Hojo actually has stepped up, which is really impressive. And the one thing I think he's stepped up in, a couple things actually. One is his pitch selection. Although he still tends to watch the first strike go by, He definitely has walked a little bit more recently. He's been pulling the ball a little bit more recently. But for me, the most impressive thing is he's been hitting in clutch situations, which he wasn't doing earlier in the year. So I think he's got a lot of confidence. And I really could see him being, a key part of this team. I don't know if they're going to bat him at the top of the order, as he ages or whatever. It really depends on how his bat develops. But I think he's going to be a stronghold. On the other hand, with Yokawa, I mean, like you said, it's hard to predict. They're still young. They could just have the breakout year. But one of the things that sticks with me is in the offseason, I remember them saying Yokawa has the attention span of about 5 minutes or something like that. I think they said. So he learns something new from the coaches. You know, he puts it into play as they're watching him, you know, in practice or whatever, and then he forgets it. And, he definitely showed a lack of concentration, missing that one ball. And then actually the very next play, when he fielded a grounder and threw it to first, he threw it a couple feet wide, but Haraguchi caught it and tagged out the runner in time. So no error on that one, although it could have been. So I don't know. I mean, I hope Yokawa can come in and be a regular slug and third baseman, because he does have a good bat when he connects. I mean, he's done well on the farm, but I don't know. He may end up being a role player, or he may be a permanent farm guy. I don't know. It's still
too early. Third and first has been kind of our import, you know, maybe an outfielder, but with Fukudome doing all right, and I mean, the outfield seems to be in a solid position.
Yeah. Speaking of which, yeah, we'll talk about the outfield right now. And since it is such a, you know, there's so much talent in our outfield right now, you're right. I mean, third base might be where we continue to recruit imports, and maybe Yokawa won't get the playing time. Maybe, you know, the corners are going to be our imports, and hopefully we'll get some good sluggers. But anyways, let's talk about the outfield. So currently we've got Fukudome, planted firmly in right field, getting regular days of rest now, which is good.
He had a great catch today, by the way, over the railing on the out in the seats out there to catch a ball there.
Two great catches, actually, because the one before that, he actually made a diving catch to save a line drive single. So yeah, really good. I mean, he's still got it in the field. He's still got it at the plate. He doesn't have the power that he had in previous years, but you know, three triples from a 39-year-old, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Fukudome's good for, I would say, for next year for sure, and maybe even the year after. Because he's not declining the way that Toritani did. Not that we have to kick a wounded player, but anyways. So then, as I said, okay, so we've got Takayama getting a lot of playing time in left. And then in center, we've recently been using a combination of Egoshi and Nakatani, both of whom are really young guys. So, what do you think? Again, I'll run down the names real quick. We got Takayama, Yokota, Egoshi, Nakatani, Itayama, and Ogata, who are all 25 and under.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think with Takayama, you know, obviously there's such promise with being the first pick.
Yeah.
But so I think you give him the time to mature. Yeah, he did have an amazing start to the year, and then kind of had a little bit of a slumber there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's come back and been pretty solid, I would definitely say that,
the
last couple months. So I think you give him that continued playing time unless you find,
absolutely,
you know, two other better people. You know, because the center field's the one where we kind of seem to be playing musical chairs with everybody else. So I think he's in a solid spot for that next year, I think, to stay on the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then as far as, you know, Nakatani's had a good bat on him.
Yeah.
You know, I really haven't – I don't – I can't recall all these individual fielding efforts from one another, but you know, I think we haven't really found anybody that's atrocious in center field. You know,
I don't think they'd get to
play if they were that bad. Well, yeah, maybe.
Yes,
but you know, so you know, as far as the batting goes, I think you know, Nakatani's really had a good second half of the season so far. So, you know. It really just depends on the bats, especially for the outfield. The fielding is you know, there's some, it's not as hard as maybe a shortstop position, let's say, from a fielding perspective.
For sure.
You have a little bit more play on the ball. So I think you can find more candidates for that kind of a position. So the bats are a little bit more important out in the outfield.
I would say so too. So I really think that in 3 years' time or so, Takayama is still going to be in left, and I think he's going to be a star. I really think he's something special. This year, he's swinging and missing a lot, and he also seems to be not waiting for his pitch. He seems to be waiting for off pitch that he can hit, which means that he's making a lot of contact, not always great contact, and then he's walking very seldom because he's not real patient, but he's a really good contact hitter. So he's got that going for him. So I think as his game matures, he is going to figure out how to wait for his pitch. I think he's going to draw more walks. I think he's going to make better contact when he does swing, and he'll strike out less. So I think the future's bright for him. I think that Kakefu is doing a great work on Yokota down on the farm, and I've heard that he has been tearing it up on the farm. And remember, he is only 21 years old. So I really think Yokota is going to come back, maybe not next year, but maybe in a couple of years' time, he's going to get some regular playing time and he's going to be something special. And then for the third one, I think once Fukudome hangs him up, I don't think Egoshi's going to be a regular player. I hate to say it. It's only been 2 years, but I haven't seen a lot of growth from him. And I don't know. I mean, this is really kind of rude to say, but he doesn't seem to have a great head on his shoulders. I haven't seen a lot of progression in his game or a lot of learning, and he seems to lose confidence in himself really quickly. And a lot of his swings are half-hearted, or he looks at too many pitches hoping for a walk, or, you know what I mean, like hoping for something to happen on its own. But I do like Nakatani's approach, so I think he's a good possibility for right field. He's also a good fielder. And then also Itayama, I think, has got great work ethic as well, and he's still really young, still got a lot to learn, but I could see maybe one of those two being the regular in right field or as the third outfielder.
So yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some promise. I think that this year, you know, maybe not a playoff season at this point after this week. You know, we talked about previously 2 weeks ago about how we're going to try to get into, you know, what do we need to do to make it, and think we have it at this time. So you know, so it's just keeping these guys, giving them some playing time and seeing what happens. And that's really how you can judge a player is how well they do on the field. You can't say, oh, this guy's going to be great just because he's been playing great on the farm. So,
right.
I mean, there's definitely some promise. I think, you know, if we look back a little further back, maybe like 4 or 5 years, you know, we had all the Shunsuke and those, and the Arai, you know, Ryota, those were kind of our young players there. And none of them have really kind of emerged into that position of an all-time starter. So
yeah,
I think that may be attributable to not giving them much time at all to play. Hopefully this approach here of taking a year and you know, not having all the pieces to make a playoff run, but at least knowing that maybe from the beginning and giving everybody their fair shake is going to be an improvement for next year.
I think so, and I definitely hope so. Yeah, well, we don't have time to look any further at the pitchers, and we haven't talked about, you know, there's other guys I want to talk about, like Nelson Perez. Are we going to give him a chance or not, and so on and so forth, but we can save that for another show. But let us talk now, Joe, about the week that is coming up on us. What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. This is the end of the big long road trip. We are going for three.
Well, maybe. Uh-oh. What's that? Our record hasn't been that good.
No, it hasn't been, home, hasn't so been outstanding, but we're going for three in Yokohama to end it, and then we have got three back at Koshien. Welcome back home, boys. We are going to be hosting the Yakult Swallows, who we are one game ahead of, and we're going up against the Bay Stars that were 3.5 behind. And last time we went into Yokohama, we took 2 of 3. And the last time we faced the Swallows, we only took 1 of 3. It was a pretty ugly series, or an ugly ending to the series. But so we went 3 and 3 the last time we faced these two teams in this order.
I'm calling for the same thing. I'm calling you? For 2 and 1 against the Bay Stars, and then 1 and 2 against the Swallows.
Oh,
a little strange pick, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, so just a real quick recap of our record on this road trip, if you don't mind. So if we count the kill set apart of this, we went 3 and 3. We went 3 and 3 the first week. We went 4 and 2 the second week. We went 1 and 4 the third week. So real quick, that puts us 1 game under .500 so far on the month. And so actually I am hoping and I am predicting a 4-2 week. I think we're going to go 2-1 in both of these. And I don't know what order we're going to choose for our rotation because this past week was a bit of a funky one with just 5 games. And right. we deactivated Iwazaki last Sunday. So he's eligible to come back, I believe, this coming Friday or Saturday. But what that means then is if we just shift Randy over, the Yokohama series is going to be Nomi, Fujinami, Messenger. And then the next one is going to be Aoyagi, maybe Aoyagi, Iwazaki, Iwasada, something like that. So it's kind of a weird one. And I don't know. I don't really like our mix in at Koshien, but I still hope that we can take 2 out of 3 anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping 4-2, and that'll push us to 1 game over .500 on the month up until this point. That would be great. But yeah, that's it.
All right.
We're almost done August. I can't believe it.
Holy cow.
Yeah. But so we are down to 27 games left with the Hanshin Tigers, and we're so thankful for all of you for sticking around with us through this whole season. I can't believe how many episodes we've done this year, Joe. It's crazy. We're on episode 44, and by my calculations, the final game of the season is going to be played during the week before we record episode 50.
Wow. We need to have like a big party. Streamers, balloons, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to do that online, but we'll figure something out. Anyways, yeah. So, as usual, if you want to contact us during the week, if you want to talk about which players you think will be regular players in 2 to 3 years' time, put your comments in the on the website, www.thehunchingtigers.com. Go look for this episode number 44 and put your comments down there. You can send them to us by email, podcast@thehunchingtigers.com, or you can put them on the Facebook page. Look us up there, H10, or also Twitter, @thehunchingtiger. Feel free to drop me a line there as well. Thanks again for joining us for this wonderful episode 44. Joe, thank you for coming back. It is always good to talk to you instead of talking to myself.
I'm glad I feel better.
Yeah, me too. All right, Joe. Well, you have a good week, and everybody out there, enjoy your baseball. See you in 7 days.
Bye. その温かささえ感じさせて夕焼けとともに暮れ